Divine Shepherd Lutheran Church and School in Black Hawk, South Dakota, is happy to share God's Word preached for you by Pastor Randy Sturzenbecker. We pray that you will rejoice in Christ crucified and resurrected for you. The waters of baptism, the Lord's Supper, and the forgiveness of sins, all for you, from Jesus.
Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, we thank you for your strong word, your guidance, your wisdom for us in all things. Help us, Father, to cling to that and trust in that only. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. What do you say to someone when you're trying to say goodbye for the last time? You quit your job, you have a new job, you're moving a long ways away. You know very well that the people that you're saying goodbye to, you more than likely will not see again. What do you say? What do you say so that it sounds winsome and elegant? What do you say that leaves them with some confidence and hope? What do you say to them to leave them with hope and promise as things change and you move on? I remember planning the last sermon that I was going to preach at our first congregations that Vonda and I were called to, Centerville and Hurley. I had this elaborate plan of talking about all of the great highs and lows of the time that we were together, talking about the great gifts that God had given to the congregation and the struggles that we had been through, reminiscing, if you will. And then one of my good friends came to me and he said, Pastor, he said, what's the most important thing that you want to leave the congregation with? Well, you know the answer as well as I do. That whole sermon was about Jesus, about the hope and the promise that we have in Jesus, about the gifts that God continues to give to us, about the forgiveness that he gives us through his own dear death and resurrection. All about Jesus. That there couldn't be any better way to end a sermon, to end a time together to say goodbye than to leave them in Jesus. In the epistle for today, St. Paul is leaving the church in Ephesus. He's been there between 7 and 8 years. This has been his home. He's been guiding them. He's been teaching them. He's been nurturing them. And now Paul is going to move on. And as he gets ready to say goodbye to this church, he doesn't reminisce. He gives them Jesus. He points them back to some things that they need to hear. And like any good Lutheran preacher, he does it very well with law and gospel. He warns them, first of all, that there are things that they will need to watch out for. He says this to the church leadership: pay careful attention to yourselves and to the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will men arise, speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert. Paul knows what will happen. He knows that in his absence, things will not go as smoothly as they did when he was here. Whenever there is a transition, whether it be change in pastors, change in leadership, or maybe you changing your pattern, going to a different church, moving to a different community, or even changes like the ones we're experiencing right now with the coronavirus, there is the danger of setting aside all that is normal and right and setting out on a different path. During these COVID times, some of the churches that have been worshiping online as we did have started a very dangerous practice. They've started what they call e-communion, meaning that as the pastor is here and as he says the words of institution over the elements, he has invited all of those who are watching at home to gather bread and wine, and when he says the words of institution here, you say them at home over the elements, and you receive the Lord's Supper in your home. This is not what our Lord has given to his church. This is a dangerous practice put in by change, by the wolves that are out there. The pastor is the only one that's been given the responsibility and the authority to consecrate the elements, not the head of the household. The gifts that God gives to us, as the pastor says, the words of institution over these elements of bread and wine, means that these elements of bread and wine carry the forgiveness of sins. Not the bread and wine that's in the sacristy, not the bread that is back in the kitchen, and certainly not the bread or wine that's at home in your houses. These gifts have been set aside as holy to carry the promise of the forgiveness of sins to these people who are here receiving them from Christ. It's a dangerous practice that wolves have snuck in order to put forward something new. The practice looks the same. The words are the same. It doesn't seem like it could be that much different. But it's a wolf in sheep's clothing, because it causes doubt and once again separates God's people from the gifts that he has given to us. Dear baptized saints, be aware of the wolf in sheep's clothing that comes to kill and to steal and to destroy. There is another wolf hiding secretly in this electronic world right now. I thank God that we have been live streaming for quite some time. What a great gift for us, for those who are not able to worship with us because of infirmity, for those who maybe have missed church for whatever reason, they can go back and hear the word and worship. What a great gift. And certainly a great gift during the time of the virus when we were not gathering together. But the wolf still hides in that electronic world. The wolf hides there, and now he is whispering into the ears of our people who have been worshiping at home for quite some time, you don't really need to be there. You can sit in front of your computer in your jam jams with your coffee, and you can do it right here. And it's the same. You see, the wolf continually wants to separate us from Christ. And he doesn't do it all at once. He likes to do it in very small incremental steps to pull you away. Electronic worshiping is a gift that God has given to us, but it is not meant to be the way that we worship regularly. If you are gathering at home, watching at home, because of illness, because of worries about COVID, thanks be to God that you are receiving his gifts and hearing his word preached into your ear. But this wolf allows us to know that this is a really convenient way to just do what I want, not go to church. I'll just check in. I'll watch. Maybe I'll just fast forward to the sermon, and then I'm fine. It is a wolf in sheep's clothing, separating us again, pulling us away from gathering in community. You see, when our Lord gathered his church, he gathers us to be a community, to gather in one place, to hear his word preached into our ears, and to have his very gifts given to us. Our Lord is an incarnational Lord who came into our world to be a part of our community, and now to give us his very body and blood himself, in with and under the bread and wine. The electronics have their place, but they do not replace this. Dear child of God, be aware of the wolf of opportunity, especially in times of transition. Be careful that the wolves do not convince you, now's your chance, now's the time to make the change. Dear baptized saints, beware of the wolf in sheep's clothing that comes to kill and steal and destroy. There's another warning that St. Paul speaks about, but really, if you were listening to the lessons today, all three of the lessons speak of the same thing. Jeremiah in the Old Testament says this, "Do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you, filling you with vain hopes. They speak visions of their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. St. Paul in the epistle reading today says, "Watch out for the fierce wolves." And Jesus himself, recorded by Matthew, says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves." It is the responsibility of God's people, all of us, the pastor, the people, the leadership, to be watching when the wolf tries to sneak in and steal away the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. A couple of years ago, the leadership and I went to an event called Doxology. And what that is, it's a pastoral event gathered with the pastor and the leaders of the congregation to help us to care for the sheep of the flock in a better way. And as we were gathered there, they used this analogy for the pastor, but not the one that we usually hear. We hear the pastor is the shepherd of the congregation. And what they said very clearly is, your congregation has a shepherd, a good shepherd, a divine and holy shepherd. Pastor, you are not the shepherd, you are the sheepdog. And that was a good analogy, because what does the sheepdog do? He gathers the flock, keeps the flock, protects the flock close to the shepherd so the shepherd can give good gifts. When I was growing up, we had a dog, a cattle dog on the farm. His name was Pepper. He was an Australian shepherd that we had since a pup. He was the smartest dog I've ever known. We would be out in the yard working cows, putting them in different yards, and that dog would instinctively, after a couple of times, know what cows went in what pen. And it got to the point, all we'd have to do is send him out, and he would cut out cows and move cows where they needed to be, all on his own. But every now and then, there was a cow that decided to do its own thing, and the dog was not going to have any of that. So there you would see this cow running through the yard, and the dog, attached to the tail, flying behind the cow. The dog would not let up, and because of that, we had to watch the dog, because the dog would cause damage to the flock. As good and as smart as Pepper was, he still had to be watched to make sure that he didn't get off track. St. Paul writes some very clear warnings for us in the epistle reading for today. He does not leave the pastor off the hook. I love the fact that you trust what I preach to you. I love and desire the prayers that you pray for me and my family and Divine Shepherd and the ministry that goes on here. But in all reality, you should not trust me. You should not trust the words that I preach to you. You should be trusting in Christ alone, and you should be holding everything that I say to you accountable to the Word of God. And if you hear something that makes the hair on the back of your neck stand up, that just does not sound right, call me and let's talk. If I have preached incorrectly, I will repent and ask for your forgiveness and the forgiveness of the church. If I have said something that's not clear and you just didn't hear it correctly, that'll give us time to talk about it and to grow in the gifts that God has given to us. Trust in God's word and his promises to you alone, and everything else, including your pastor, hold accountable to the promises that God has given to you, because these gifts, these good and gracious gifts that our Lord gives to us, are so good that we would not want to be distracted and pulled away by any wolf that may mean well or may not. Dear saints, always be watching so that the work of the wolf does not sneak in and steal the good gifts of God's presence away from you. As St. Paul gets ready to leave, as he leaves his congregational home of 8 years, he warns them to be watching for anything that would be pulling them away from the hope in Jesus, and we need to do the same. Every sermon, every Bible study, every hymn we sing should point to Jesus, our hope and our promise. If it doesn't, we should be looking at that. We should be concerned about that, and we should be trying to get back to the point where everything we do here, we clearly see the gifts that our Savior has given to us. If I asked you after worship what was the whole point of the sermon, I know many of you probably would say, "Watch out for the wolf." Well, that's the law. That's certainly a part of it. But the whole point of us gathering here is not to be given marching orders to go out into the world, but to give and receive Jesus, His promises for you, the forgiveness that our Lord has given to you that you cannot find anywhere else in the universe except through God's Word. The gospel of Jesus is that we're forgiven. That you and I, as we sit here and we wonder about our lives and our future, we have the absolute confidence that our life in Christ does not and will not change. That God's promises to you will never change. That His love for you is not changed by some mandate from the CDC or from the government. God's love for you isn't changed even by the threats of the evil one. His love for you is sure. Given to you in Jesus. As we gather as God's people given here, St. Paul leaves his congregation with these words, and they're great words for us as well. "And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all of those who are sanctified." There isn't a better way to say goodbye than saying he commends us to the word of God's grace. Paul commends them to Jesus, God's word of hope and forgiveness to you. He sets this congregation that he has been in for 8 years, and he gives them back to God, and he prays that God will protect them, and he will. And he does the same for us. When we leave with the benediction at the end, these words are the words that should resonate in our ear, that if we have been placed in the word of God's grace and his mercy, and his forgiveness from Jesus to you. I wasn't planning this, but I think this is something we should do. Lynn, we're gonna sing the fifth verse of Thy Strong Word again. Because as we look at how do we live in this life of Christ, this verse gives us exactly what we should be doing. Give us lips to sing thy glory, tongues to sing thy praise. That is what a life means when we are connected, immersed in, and living in the word of God's grace. We sing verse 5 of our sermon hymn on page 14.
Give us lips to sing thy glory, tongues thy mercy to proclaim, throats that shout a hope that fills us, mouths to speak thy holy name. Alleluia, alleluia, may the light which thou dost send
in the name of Jesus, amen. And now may this peace that passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.